You ain't safe in the cities, and you're not safe in the country either. A blessing for obedience, victory in wars, like World War I and World War II. Feared by other nations, material prosperity, the wealthiest nation on earth. You would the country would lend to many nations but borrow from none. That was the former state. That was a pretty good description of America at one point. But now look at the curses for disobedience. Verses 15 and 16. But it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, with which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. As I stated, you don't have to go to North New Jersey or New York City. If you want to get the tar kicked out of you, you can go just about anywhere. I mean, you can. We got thugs walking the streets in the country as well as the city. We're being cursed in the country as well as the city. Take a look at verse 21. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until He has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. 25. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them, but you shall flee seven ways before them. And you shall be an example of terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Verses 27 to 30. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt, and with tumors, and with the scab, and with the itch, from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will smite you with madness, and with blindness, and with bewilderment of heart, and you shall grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. You shall betroth the wife, but another man shall violate her. You shall build a house, but you shall not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not use its fruit. Look at verse 35. The Lord will strike you on the knees and legs with sore boils, from which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. Verses 43 and 44. The alien who is among you shall rise above you, higher and higher, but you shall go down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Verses 58 and 59. If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, and severe and lasting plagues, and miserable and chronic sicknesses. So some of the curses for disobedience: the nation would be cursed in the city and the country. The people would be oppressed and robbed continually. There would be a national debt. Sound familiar? National debt. Right now here in America, still supposed to be the wealthiest nation on earth, but in actuality, we've got a national debt in the trillions. When the bill collectors come, it was by about the year 2000, we won't have enough money coming in taxes. I don't even think we'll be earning enough money to pay just the interest on the national debt, let alone to chop it down. Yet we have politicians that don't care about passing a constitutional amendment to balance the budget. Immigrants would rise above its citizens. Let me tell you something. When people like the Koreans or the Japanese move to America and succeed in businesses, we need to salute them, because they are taking advantage of what little opportunity is still left in this country. At the same time, when this occurs, and then you find Americans being upset about it and arguing that we should get some of the money that they have, when some of the Americans that are saying this aren't doing anything themselves, it just lets you know that we've taken on an attitude of laziness. We want something for nothing. And it's a sign. It's a sign to a country when its own citizens are not prospering and foreigners move into the country and prosper. It's a sign to that country that you're not trying as hard as you should have, and you're turning your back on the God who blessed you. Diseases. We don't have to, you know, we could list off venereal diseases such as AIDS. We could talk about tuberculosis and hepatitis B, which are on the comeback. And the more this nation promotes homosexuality, the more the health of this nation is going to go down the tubes. Defeat in wars. I mean, this World War I and World War II, America was pretty feared, especially at the end of World War II. And when you look at Korea and Vietnam with politicians wanting us to fight the wars but not wanting us to win the wars, and you find us retreating from nations that we should have easily been able to step on like a person steps on an ant, it makes you wonder if the blessings of God are something in the past. And then madness. And we don't have to talk about that much today. You can go walk downtown Bremerton, and you will see people walking down the street having conversations with themselves. And I don't know if there's something chemical wrong with them, or if it's due to drug abuse, or if it's due to demonic possession. I don't know what the case is, but these people are becoming more and more, a higher and higher percentage of our population, people who no longer think rationally, who can become very violent at times. And by the way, you know, my heart goes out to a homeless person who couldn't help his situation, but there are a lot of homeless people. It's a subculture that has its own rules, and they are nothing like the rules of the civilized world. I do not recommend witnessing to groups of homeless people in Seattle alone. In fact, I recommend that you get five or six of the biggest guys in the church and then witness to them. But believe me, this madness thing is becoming more and more widespread. In conclusion, I just want us to look at two passages. First, turn to Proverbs 14:34. Thank you again for your patience there. I think I say that every Sunday. Okay, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Let me tell you something. America still has some good points. I mean, as far as freedom goes, we're still probably, you know, the freest nation on earth, if not one of the freest nations on earth, although that's, you know, rapidly disintegrating. Our government isn't as limited as it should be, but our government is still limited when you compare it with some of the governments that are out there. But we're becoming more and more socialistic, bigger and bigger government, less and less freedom. It's still viewed by many to be the land of opportunity, and biblical morality still, you can proclaim biblical morality and at this point, to a certain degree, not be thrown into jail, but I doubt if we'll be able to say that in 5 years if things don't change. And for the most part, we're pro-Israel, though I think we're moving away from that point. God says, I'll bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse her. You don't mess with the chosen. By the way, don't ever think that America is the toughest nation on earth. As far as I'm concerned, God said you'll never wipe the Israelite nation off the face of the earth. As far as I'm concerned, I don't care how strong your nation is, if you're going to lock horns with Israel, and if Israel at that point in their history is turning back to the Lord, you're going to lose. And but we need to back the nation of Israel. They don't have any other friends, and sometimes America doesn't appear to be as friendly as we should. But the bad points, we talked about them: abortion, the killing of the unborn, infanticide, the killing of infants, which has been done in this country, euthanasia, which is being practiced and legislation is being passed as we speak, the pro-gay rights, pro-homosexual rights, the sexual promiscuity, the drug abuse, the laziness there's an awful lot of people that just don't want to work, and they just want handouts. There's some people that can't help it, but there's some people that just don't want to work. High divorce rate. One out of every two divorced marriages ends in divorce in this country. Racism. I'm not just talking to right. There are many whites that are prejudiced against African Americans, but we're also seeing it going in the other direction as well. And anybody who thinks that only whites can be prejudiced is wrong. We're seeing it from all different directions. There's some people who are prejudiced against Asians. Some people are prejudiced against. I mean, I grew up among Italians, but because I was half Portuguese, I learned to be a pretty good fighter. They didn't know the difference between a Portuguese and a Puerto Rican, so they used to call me a Puerto Rican. And I didn't know what a Puerto Rican was, but I just figured they were saying it mean, so you know. But racism is, you know, we founded this nation on the belief that all men are created equal. We got to get back to that. We've created in God's image. The violence, the national debt. A huge government that gets bigger and bigger and more socialistic as time goes on. The loss of freedom. The fact that the American government has become more and more anti-Christian. Get Christianity out of the schools. Take away the freedom of speech from the. I tell you right now, if you want to see where our freedoms are right now, we look like the way Christians are being treated today, the way Jews were being treated in Nazi Germany just about 10 years before the Holocaust was in full swing. Propaganda, anti-Christian propaganda, is becoming more and more widespread. And I think the day is going to come when a lot of our strongly held beliefs and practices are going to be outlawed. The movement towards a one-world government. Don't ever let anybody tell you that a one-world human government is a good thing. It's people. The United Nations is nothing but a resurrection of the Tower of Babel. And God was ticked off back then. He's going to be ticked off again. But the next time he shakes this planet, it's when the Lord Jesus comes back in power and glory. Lack of the liberal media. Yeah, let's not forget our friends in the media, the liberal media. If you want to find out what's going on in the world, turn on a 700 Club and hear their little segment on the news. Maybe tune in every now and then to Rush Limbaugh or somebody like that. But listen to both sides of the story, because you're not going to get, you're getting a tremendously biased, politically correct, anti-Christian view from CNN. But lack of just punishment. A guy kills somebody, he gets on the average 7 years in prison. That justice means the punishment fits the crime. If I stole $1,000 from you and the judge made me pay back seven, that's not justice. Somebody kills a relative of mine and then gets 7 years in prison, that's not justice. By the way, the criminals just seem to be the only people with rights anymore. God forbid you forget to give a bathroom break to a prisoner. You know, you can walk all over law-abiding citizens. Politically correct public schools, we talked about that. Even, you know, throw in another one, take away the right to bear arms of law-abiding citizens. A law-abiding citizen should have the right to protect himself. After all, he was created in God's image. But look at Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Our country has been disgraced. Our country, the present stage of its existence is extremely shameful. I'll tell you, I'm not an American basher. I look at America and compare it with all other nations, and I still think our report card is a heck of a lot better than just about anybody else. But the fact of the matter is, we have fallen. We have been disgraced. We don't have time to look at Leviticus 18, but when you get home, look at Leviticus 18, verses 20 to 25. God says that if certain sins become widespread in your nation, it defiles your nation and destroys it. And God says that's why he's kicking the Gentile nations out of the promised land and putting the Israelites in there. But if the Israelites practice them, he'll basically spit them out. of the promised land as well. Those practices were this, idolatry, worshiping Molech, and then sacrificing children to him, which infanticide and abortion, you know, we're killing our babies. Adultery was another of the sins mentioned, and homosexuality. And these things are wide. It sounds like a description of America. And God says it will defile your land. God refers to the homosexual practice as an abomination before him. So if I refer to homosexuality as anything less than an abomination before God, I'm not preaching a word. But God's in the business of saving sinners and cleaning them from the inside. And so we've got to preach to all men, whether they be heterosexual or homosexual. And finally, what should our response be? Second Chronicles. This again is a passage for the nation of Israel, but we can apply it to any nation where a significant percentage of the people are believers. We are the remnant. Not just Trinity Bible Fellowship, but all the Bible-believing Christians throughout our country are the remnant in America. And this is what we need to do. We need to take the advice that God gave to Solomon for the nation of Israel and its true believers. 2 Chronicles 7, verses 11 to 14. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's palace. He had just finished the work on the temple, building the temple, and successfully completed all that he had planned on doing in the house of the Lord and in his palace. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Our country has been disgraced, and so God's people, the remnant, must drop to their knees. We need to repent of our own sinfulness, and we need to pray on behalf of the other people in our country, and pray that God would restore to us that which the locusts have devoured, and pray to return to us the faith of our founding fathers, the faith in the one true God, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, who blessed America and prospered her. That God, the God of Abraham, that God and that God alone, the triune God of the Bible, is our only hope. Nothing short of a miracle, nothing short of national revival is going to save this country from devastation. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' precious name, we pray now for our country, for a country that has blessed us with so much freedom, recognizing that that you instituted governments not to take away man's freedom, but to protect it. And so we thank you for the wisdom of our founding fathers, even though they weren't always consistent with that wisdom that you gave them. Lord, I just pray for our country, that you would forgive our sins, that you would heal our land, that you would turn back the hearts of the American people to the God who blessed them. That we would not seek something new, like the New Age movement, some of these new pagan teachings that are being thrust on us. But instead, we would recognize that we need to return to the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. And Lord, I not only pray for our country as a whole, but I also pray for individual people within it and the individual people within our church. For those of us who believe, Lord, strengthen us, encourage us, cause us to see things from your perspective. Cause us to view ourselves primarily as spiritual warriors sent out into battle, to battle for you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Cause us not to live for ourselves, but to place your will first above all else. Cause us to be servants who desire to serve you. And Lord, if there's anyone here in this room who's never asked your Son Jesus to be their only Savior, I pray that they would recognize we're all sinners. We all deserve the flames of hell. But that your Son Jesus became a man and died on the cross for our sins and took our punishment for us and then rose from the dead to conquer death for us, so that if we trust in Him alone for salvation, He will save us and guide us throughout our lives and empower us to be all that He called us to be. And so, Lord, I pray for this church that You would cause us to be a light in the midst of the darkness of our community. And I pray for all the Bible-believing churches throughout America that through Your grace and through Your mercy and through Your power, we would be able to remain a free country and would not move towards a one-world government, but we would be a country that recognizes the existence of the one true God and obeys His laws. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.